It was the incident of police brutality in Minneapolis. A police officer killed George Floyd. And all the facts behind this incident are not all evident. Actually, there's a lot of conflicting evidence or facts. But we have been told by the mainstream media that George Floyd was an innocent victim of police brutality. And let's assume this was true. That was true. What has happened there was very disturbing and a sheer act of injustice, or we can say racism. As Christians, we should all be appalled by this act of injustice. But we have to be aware that the devil is very good at sidetracking the people of God and causing division in the body of Christ. That is one of his strategies. He wants to divert the people, the children of God, to fight against one another in the body of Christ, to divide, to group people together to fight against the church of God. I recently did some investigation on the movement, the BLM movement, Black Lives Matter. And in my investigation, I came to the conclusion that this movement has nothing to do with saving black lives. If you have some time, please go to their website. As Christians, we all believe black lives matter. In fact, we believe all lives matter for that sake, as Christians. But if you read on their website and understand what they stand for, you will see that this movement is leftist, Marxist, liberal, anti-Christian to the core, if you actually investigate them. If they really cared for black lives, they wouldn't support abortion on demand. But that's what they do. Not only that, there are more black babies murdered than any other ethnic group in the USA, okay? And they support that, this movement. The Black Lives Matter movement supports the following things: homosexual marriages, transgenderism, Marxism. That's why all these riots that you've seen, that's part of the movement, because they're Marxist. They want to overthrow the present order. That's what they want to do. That's what Marxism always wants to do. Through violence, through riots, through vandalism. That's how they work. They don't see that as evil. So how is it that nobody are disturbed about all the police officers and all the other African Americans in the USA that have been murdered during these times? Nobody says anything about that. Why is nobody making a fuss about that? It's only this one incident. You see what the media does. The media is trying to infiltrate and cause division, even in the church of Jesus Christ. We have to say from the start, like I said earlier, all lives matter to God, because we were all made in the image of God. And to put the record straight, there's not many races. There's only one race. There's the human race. We are all of the same race. We all come from Adam. We all come from Noah. They are not, the theory of evolution through Darwin suggests there are different races. But they are not different races. Darwin was an atheist. He was not a Christian. There's only one race, the human race, and we all come from Adam. We have one ancestor. So in other words, there's not some ethnic groups that are above other ethnic groups. Because if you look at the Bible, you see that God, when God came to Abraham, he said to Abraham, in you, all the ethnic groups, all the families of the earth will be blessed. God had a plan. You see, go to Revelation 5 verse 9, you see people from all languages, ethnic groups, worshiping the Lamb. That's what you see in the Bible. All lives matter to God, first of all, because they were made in the image of God. But we have to say this: although all lives matter to God, God sets his focus primarily on his people. They matter the most, we can say. There's a chosen generation. And those ones whom God has chosen for himself matters the most. So who are the chosen ones? Who are the ones that are special to God? They are the ones who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins, who have been reconciled to God, and who've been united to the Holy Spirit. Those are the ones that matter to God the most. Let's move into the future for a while. I don't know when the second coming is going to happen. But let's say 2 million years from now, the second coming has taken place. And we have a new earth. We have a new heavens. Who will matter? Think about it. If you go out of time and you go into eternity and you look from God's perspective, who will matter? Who matters to God in the final sense? It is the church of God, those who are in heaven, those who will spend eternity with God in heaven. Those are the people that really will matter for all eternity. The rest, all the others who are not in heaven, will not be in heaven, who does not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who doesn't carry their crosses, those will be in hell for all eternity, and they will suffer God, under God's wrath and justice. That's what the Bible, this is the message of the Bible. The church of God really matters to God. The true disciples of Jesus Christ, they are the ones who really matter to God. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to love other people, our neighbor. We're not saying we should hate other people. We're not saying that. The Bible says we must love our enemies. We must love unbelievers. We must love those who hate the church of God even. We must pray for them. We're not advocating these kind of things. Hatred or anything like that. But we see also in this song that there is an agenda against the church of God globally in different nations. There is an agenda against the church of God. And in God's, from God's point of view, the church, his heritage, his inheritance, his people matter the most. And who are they? They're Asians. They are Australians. They're Africans. They're Europeans, Americans, African Americans from all the continents. The people of God, they are people of God. They come from all ethnic groups. They are not called whites or blacks or coloreds or greens or whatever. They're not called according to color. We are all the children of God. We are all, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all brothers and sisters of one another. We are all one in Christ. That's the message of the Bible, those who believe in Christ. So let's look at our text. First of all, I want to look at an urgent plea. We go from verse 1. O Lord God of vengeance, O God of vengeance, shine forth. Rise up, O judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. Now, the writer of this psalm wrote this psalm, and I don't know exactly when he wrote this, but he wrote this as he was looking around him and he saw injustice. This is the context of the psalm. He witnessed the proud and he saw the devastation the proud have caused. And what does he do? What does he see when the heritage and the people of God are being attacked? He does not vandalize. He doesn't curse. He doesn't destroy. What he does is he's praying. He's praying to God and he says, God of vengeance, shine forth. He knows God is just. God will see to it that justice prevails. When we think of vengeance, many times we think of cruelty in human terms. We think of vindictiveness. But with God, you shouldn't think, when the psalmist prays, God of vengeance, shine forth, he's basically praying that God's justice will prevail among the nations. Therefore, the writer says, rise up, O judge of the earth. Repay to the proud what they deserve. judge of the earth. And this is the message of the Bible. This is a sad reality that there are so many injustices being committed every day. Every day around the world, there's the proud. There are the proud. In South Africa alone, there are 50 or more murders being committed every day. 50. 20,000. There are more than 50 people being raped in South Africa every day, according to statistics. These are the proud. All ethnic groups are involved in these crimes. Asians, Africans, Caucasians. If I were have to count to you the numbers of Christians that are murdered and massacred every day across the world, it will astonish you. What's actually happening in the world? We don't hear about these things in the news. Yes, it comes to our ears now and again, but on CNN, BBC, SABC, Network 24, all the popular mainstream media, they will never, sometimes, tell you about all the Christians that are being massacred around the world. Why? Because they are selective in their reporting. There are hundreds of thousands of Christians being massacred around the world, but the media wouldn't say anything about that. Why wouldn't they report on persecution taking place weekly? They don't do these things because they have an agenda. They want to put specific people groups against one another. And they do not do accurate reporting. As I said earlier, there's only one race, the human race. And every power in history, every you can say world power in history, has had its share in executing injustices. If you can go throughout the history, the communists, I mean in Africa, the Hutus massacred the Tutsis by 800,000, 1994. That's what happened in Africa. The communists in Eastern Europe massacred others. The Russians, their own people. China, Asia, the Muslims in Northern Africa. They still do it today, in fact. I get reports every week on my inbox from Barnabas Fund, from Voice of the Martyrs, every week of Fulani herdsmen and from Boko Haram who's killing Christian village by village, house by house, church by church in Burkina Faso, northern Nigeria, Cameroon. Every week these things are happening, every month. But do you hear of these things in the media? You don't. Unless you are subscribing to one of their newsletters, then you'll get the full picture. Let's face it, the whole human race, in fact, every person is born with a God-hating, rebellious, self-centered, depraved nature. Every person that is born, no race, or there's only one race, no ethnic group is exempt from this. Nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ can save us from the slavery of racism, ethnocentrism, and pride. Nothing but the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God were to execute vengeance on us, we would all be condemned and destroyed. All of us. Each one of us will be condemned if God would execute justice on us. The Bible says, let God be truthful and everybody be a liar. There's no hope for any African, American, Asian, Australian, Chinaman, Indian, European, outside the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no hope. It's only in Jesus Christ. You see, the law of God is the great leveler. You look at the mirror of God's law and you see, I'm undone, I'm condemned, I'm a sinner, I'm depraved, I'm a God hater, I'm an idolater. And unless the gospel of Christ, there's a miracle in me, and God is a miracle in me, there's no hope for me. We are all without excuse. We are all guilty as charged. And without God's restraining hand, you will become, with given the opportunity, you will become worse than Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Osama bin Laden, Karl Marx, Robert Mugabe. The list goes on. You will become worse than that if you have the resources, if you have the opportunity, and if God leaves you his restraining hand, if you're an unbeliever. It's not an impossibility. So when the psalmist starts with his prayer, "O Lord God of vengeance, shine forth." He is a believer. He's praying this. He's seeing things in the world. He's seeing all these wickedness. And he's pleading with God, "O God of vengeance, shine forth. Give justice." He's righteous. And that's the first thing we have to understand. This man is a believer and he's praying to God that justice will prevail. Second point, what the wicked, what they do. Verse 3. "O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words, or the evildoers boast. They crush your people, they afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the sojourner, and murder the fatherless. And they say, 'O Lord, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive.'" So these are the wicked. What do? They are arrogant. They think there's no God, many of them. They think God does not see. That's why in verse 3 it says, "O Lord," the psalmist prays, "O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? How long shall this continue?" Because when you look at the news, if you look at what things are going on in the world, you see arrogance, you see pride, you see people killing, you see murder, you see the church of God being afflicted and harassed by non-Christians, non-believers. So what do? They boast, they exult, they're arrogant, they boast in their plans, they crush, verse 5, your people, they afflict your heritage. If you, I want to, encourage you, if you don't know church history, read books on church history. We actually have very good books there at the back there, church history. Church history will help you to understand how the church has always been persecuted. Even today, they are persecuted. In China, the last 2 weeks, in 1948, the communists took over in China. Immediately, they started persecuting the church. In 1960, they started persecution became very bad. But then they allowed for registered churches in China. And what happened was, Christians who come together in registered churches, but underground, but you had to preach what the government said you must preach. You cannot preach from Revelation, for example, and other books of the Bible. You had to preach what the government said. Now, what happened to the church? They went underground. But during this time, the church grew. And now, today is about 80 million. Some people say 80 to 100 million people. Christians actually in China, but they're mostly in the underground church. You know, they've always been persecuted in China. From that time. But now, the last 2 weeks, 48 registered churches have been closed down. So now what they've done, now they start to persecute the churches that were legal, registered. So many reports, I get reports from different agencies. They say, the church in China is really going through a rough time now. I'm always thinking about, during the Reformation, the Roman Catholic Church, they persecuted the Protestants. Thousands and thousands of Christians were burned at the stake during the Reformation. And after that, in England, you go to northern Nigeria, as I said, Boko Haram, the Fulani herdsmen. We were there with APC. They tell us stories. This church has been burned down. This one, suicide bomber went into this one. We don't experience these things in South Africa. But we have to realize that God's people are being afflicted all over the world. In the West, we don't always experience that, but it comes in different other forms. But Christians are also still being targeted in South Africa. Now, many of the farmers in South Africa are Christians. You must realize that. Now, there's a political agenda. They are, every month, they are being targeted and being killed. This has been happening since 1994. Now, in a sense, that is a kind of a persecution. Because who are doing those killings? It's not believers, I can tell you. It's not Christians doing that. This is murderers are doing that. And many of those people are Christians. And even in South Africa, we're talking about 50 murders a day, many of those people are actually Christians from all ethnic groups. They're not just Afrikaners. They've come from all ethnic groups who are murdering this wicked people. So in that sense, they also are, persecution is actually going on in a certain sense in South Africa. Verse 20 says the following. Can wicked rulers be allied with you, those who frame injustice by statute? We have to realize that wicked laws are being pushed on many nations. In South Africa, 1997, abortion on demand was legalized. That was not a Christian law. Since that time, 1.6 million babies have been legally murdered in South Africa. In 2004-6, between 2004 and 6, homosexual unions are legalized. So in other words, men and men and women can marry. They call it a civil union. But I don't know about marriage. Legal in South Africa. Recently, in government school, they're trying to push comprehensive sex education. You know what that is? That is perversion. They teach young girls, young boys to be immoral, sexually immoral in schools. That's being pushed through. And who's behind it? The United Nations. United Nations has an agenda in Africa. In many African nations, abortion on demand, homosexuality, comprehensive sexual education, these things are illegal. Zambia, Uganda, for example. What does the United Nations do? They try to force governments and nations to accept these things, otherwise they won't give aid to those countries. That's the United Nations. They are wicked, and they are forcing wicked laws. And this is not, you know, South Africa is not the only country. In America, 1973, abortion was legalized. Since that time, 50 million babies have been aborted since 1973 in America. That's why there's a movement against that in America. Another, socialism. The fact that governments are speaking of confiscation of property, expropriation without compensation. Now we realize that in some instances there are injustices they want to rectify. But what we've seen in history, if a government usually implements something like that, what happens? What happens usually in socialistic countries? Theft, freedoms go out the window. And that's usually what socialist governments do. They want more control, more power. And usually what happens in those countries is persecution of minorities, and especially the Church of Jesus Christ. You see it in China. You saw it in Cuba. You saw it in many other countries around the Eastern Europe. Usually, when socialistic governments start implementing these kind of laws, more control, freedoms go out the window, and persecution of the church usually is a result. That's what happens. So we must, as Christians, be very aware of, the psalmist says, can wicked rulers be allied to you who frame injustice by statute? But they can't. And that's what we have to be aware of as Christians. Sometimes we have to criticize evil laws. We have to. We have to make a stand against abortion on demand. Even if the government says it's good, doesn't mean it's good. There are many such laws. Zimbabwe, for example, is a case study how to destroy Christian civilization. If you have recently received a video, the richest people in Zimbabwe, you know, they are billionaires, US dollars, they're billionaires. But what happens on the ground? Economy completely destroyed. What happened? It was basically the land was taken from people that worked hard for it. And what happened? Civilization, as we know it, was destroyed. Why? Through whom? Through the government. And it will take years for Zimbabwe to be rebuilt. It will not take place unless just laws are implemented and freedoms are restored to the people of the land. Freedom. And that's what helps society to thrive. Freedom. Freedom of religion. Freedom of expression. Freedom must be restored. So, and that's why the reformers gave us in Europe. They fought for separation of powers. They fought against tyranny because the whole of the Middle Ages was against getting power, the church having too much power, certain people too having too much power. The reformers came in and said, no, powers must be separated. That's what we have in South Africa. We have separation of powers. We have Parliament in Cape Town. We have in Bloemfontein, we have the judiciary. We have the Court of Appeal. We have separation of powers. When those things are destroyed is the end of civilization, because absolute power corrupts. The reformers saw that, and they made checks and balances. And they also gave the rule of law. And that's why the Constitution is so important. The Constitution is very important because it helps to get the rulers in check. If they become corrupt, they're not above the law. And that's what the reformers in the 16th century gave us. The rule of law. Separation of powers. So that's very important that we have to understand. And we see it even in this text. wicked rulers cannot be allied with you. What do? They condemn the innocent. The most dangerous place today, you know where it is? The most dangerous place today in the world is in a woman's womb. The most dangerous place today is in the woman's womb. Why do I say that? Since 1990, according to abort97.com, since 1990 only, 200 million babies have been aborted globally. 200 million. The most dangerous place in the world is in a woman's womb. That is just a fact. Any other thing, World War I, 50 million dead. It's more dangerous to be in a baby in a woman's womb. What do the evil people do? They condemn the innocent to die. They condemn the innocent to die. That's what it's legal to do these things. But it's wicked in God's sight. They persecute the righteous, verse 21. Verse 6, they kill the widow and the sojourner and the murder the fatherless. And they think, verse 7 says, the Lord does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. But God does see. You see, the wicked has a false view of God. They think they can get away with murder. They think they can get away with rape. They think they're going to get away with theft. They think they can get away with all these things. And they flatter themselves. Oh, God will not know. God will not know. God doesn't see. They have a pagan view of God. They think God started everything and now God is taking a holiday and everybody's just going on in their lives. God doesn't know. My third point, but God, verse 8. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, does he not rebuke? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. So God knows, God sees, and God hears. Nothing can be hidden from God. Hearing all these things wants to make your heart break, doesn't it? There's a lot of evil things going on in the world. But God knows about these things. And therefore, there's a judgment day. Justice will prevail. God will take vengeance. All those doctors, all those nurses, all those politicians who frame injustice by law and execute these evil acts will stand before God one day, and God will condemn them for eternity in hell unless they repent and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Unless people repent, God knows, God sees. God made the ear. God made the eye. God knows exactly what's happening in every centimeter of this universe. Exactly. He's everywhere present. And whenever there's injustice, whenever there's evil acts committed, God is there and God will give justice. He disciplines the nations. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from the days of trouble until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous. Blessed are those whom God disciplines. Hebrews chapter 12. If God does not discipline you, you are an illegitimate child. If you do not want to receive correction, you are an illegitimate child of God. That's what the Bible says. Blessed is the man or the woman whom you discipline, O Lord, whom you teach out of your law. Blessed are those. Blessed are you when you have an ear to hear. Blessed are you when you are willing to submit. Blessed are you when you are sitting in church and willing to hear the word of God being preached. Because many people, they are not willing to do that. They just go out, go on in their lives and doing what they want. Blessed are you when you have an ear to hear what the word of God says. Blessed are you when you are being disciplined and corrected and instructed and being taught by the word of God. Blessed are you. And blessed will you be if you practice that till the day that you die. Blessed is the man whom you discipline and whom you teach out of your law. Why is the Bible there? Why is the Bible being given? Why is preaching being given to the church? To correct us, to instruct us, to guide us to the fountain of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible has been given. The Bible has been given to lead us to Jesus Christ, that we might be justified and saved by faith. That's why the Bible has been given. That's why God instructs, he teaches, he rebukes, he corrects, he instructs, he guides us to Jesus Christ. And blessed are you when you humble yourself, when you hear the word of God. Blessed are you. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord, whom you teach out of your law, to give him rest from days of trouble until the pit is dug for the wicked. Why has Jesus Christ been given? To give you rest from the days of trouble. Because the days of trouble has been there, it will be there, it is here, it will be there for all eternity, not eternity till Jesus comes again, the second coming. Trouble will there be in this world. You will have to go through many tribulations, but the Bible says, blessed are you if God disciplines you, in whom he teaches out of his law, to give rest from the days of trouble. That is the goal of the instruction, that you come to a place of rest, salvation, security in Jesus Christ, where you make Jesus Christ your rock of refuge, because the world is there to afflict and to crush his heritage. And we see that through church history. God's instruction has been given to show your sins so that you might cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you look to Jesus and you fix your eyes on Jesus, that you might find forgiveness of your sins and peace of conscience and peace with Jesus Christ, God himself. That's why the Bible has been given. And then verse 14 says, for the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. That verse is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because it tells us that God will keep his people. That's the main message of this, main point in this message. God will keep his people. God will not abandon his heritage. Even if the whole world goes against the church, even though there's a lot of persecution going on all over, even though there's wicked laws trying to restrict us as Christians. Even if they say in South Africa, no more church, not because of COVID-19, because it's like in China, no church anymore. God will still keep his heritage. He will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. Why? Because the church matters to God. And God is building his church, and the church of Christ cannot be destroyed. The kingdom of God will grow, and it will grow till the end of the age. It will grow, and as the Bible says, the good work that I started, I will finish. Paul, Philippians 1 verse 6. The good work that he starts, he will finish. No one will pluck them out of my hand. John chapter 10 verse 30. No one, I give them eternal life, they shall not never perish. No one will pluck them out of my hand. Jesus says, the Father is greater than all. No one will pluck them out of the Father's hand. Christ's church cannot be destroyed, even if they kill the church on this earth. It cannot be destroyed because Christ conquered death. He's more powerful than any device of Satan. Verse 14, the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. It will not happen. Verse 15, for justice will return to the righteous and the upright in heart will follow it. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be justified. You will be justified, not because you are just, but because Jesus is just and he gives his righteousness to you. That's the only reason. You are a wicked, just as I'm wicked, depraved, evil, sinner by nature. I deserve hell. But because if I believe on Jesus and I put my trust in Jesus, I will be justified because Jesus fulfilled the requirement of the law by being a sacrifice in our place and obtaining a perfect righteousness. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus, all your sins are put in him and all his righteousness is put on you, and you are justified, declared just, declared to be righteous in the sight of God by his grace alone. For justice will return to the righteous. And then, even if you are unjustly treated in this world, even if they curse you, even if you are persecuted, the Bible says justice will return to the righteous. It will return, sometimes only on judgment day, but it will return. Because God is the great judge. And even though there are so many injustices all across the world, justice will return to the righteous, for those who are in Christ. And you will be counted, you're already counted just, righteous, in the sight of God, this side of the grave, if you are in Christ. But sometimes that's not obvious. Justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart will follow it. And he will wipe away the wicked. Verse 23, he will bring back on them their iniquity and wipe them out for their wickedness. The Lord our God will wipe them out. So the murderers, the idolaters, the thieves, the evil people that do not want to turn to Christ, they will be wiped out like a dish that is dirty. And you use a cloth or whatever it is to wipe that dish. These days I'm doing a lot of dishes because Roxanne looks after the baby. And I wash a lot of dishes, I clean a lot of dishes. God will clean this earth. He will clean the earth from all the wicked. He will not do it now, but one day he will clean everything. And the wicked will be wiped out. They will be wiped out of his universe. They will be consigned to hell. And many are there already. And there's more that I want to say, but I'm going to leave it for next Sunday. Just in closing, there's more in this passage. What must the righteous do? What must they? That's a very important question. I have actually 7 points under this one. What must the righteous do? Verse 16, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? What must the righteous do? I have 7 points. I'm just going to list it down there and I'm going to close. Make a stand against murder, all kinds of murder. Make a stand against murder, all kinds of murder. Make a stand against rape and physical abuse. Thirdly, make a stand against corruption, theft, and vandalism. Fourthly, make a stand against racism, hatred, and xenophobia. We must make a stand as Christians against these things. We are one. We are one as a body. Make a stand against abortion on demand. I think that's the biggest atrocity being committed in the world today. Make a stand against abortion. Make a stand against wicked laws that promote homosexual unions and transgenderism. It's destroying the family. The basic unit that God has put in place is destroying that. Make a stand against that. Make a stand against socialism and communism. Why? Because it's theft. That's what it is. It destroys people, destroys freedom. And make a stand against governments and groups that persecute the church. There are many organizations that are involved in these things. But those, the Bible, God says here, in the last, it says, who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you must pursue righteousness, not only in one area. You must pursue righteousness all across the board. All across the board. What the media does, they focus on one thing, but they forget all the other things. Things that are actually more important. As Christians, as children of God, we are passionate about justice. And next week, God willing, or the week after that, I want to look at this. How do you make a stand? Practically. We must get practical about these things. May God help us. Let's pray.